From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in March when Saturday Night Live decided to include a bit of Western New York culture in its parody of the Jeffrey Epstein case. SNL created a sketch in which celebrity lawyers had to decide whether to take on Epstein as a client. Several times, the sketch turned to a familiar jingle about Celino and Barnes, only SNL rewrote some of the lyrics. But the Atlantic Monthly writes that the era of the jingle is now over. Is that true? Which jingles stick in your head? Which annoy you? Which are enjoyable? The man who wrote the Celino and Barnes jingle is Ken Kaufman, a man who has written many such jingles over the years. We thought it would be fun to examine his craft, take a look at the history of jingles, ask our listeners for their favorite or perhaps the most loathed. And if we were smart, I would have written a jingle for Connections, but goodness knows we're happy enough with Barsook Records and Rah Rah Ride as our opening music. We don't have a jingle here, but Ken Kaufman is there with us, coming from, I think, from BFO in Buffalo. How are you, Ken?
I'm well, thanks, and I'd love to work on a jingle for you.
So my question was, how long would it take you if you wanted to do something seriously?
Well, usually I get back to my client within about a week and a half to 2 weeks with a demo, okay, of what the final jingle will be. Now, it can take a little bit longer if there is no slogan work developed, any marketing direction. Then we've got to start from square one. Sometimes we even have to work on the name of the client, because sometimes the name is too cumbersome and they're ill-advised, and we have to work on that first.
Oh, very interesting. Well,
sure.
I'm reading here that one of the somewhat regular guests we've had in the last year, is this true, Megan Mack, that one of our guests has two cats named Celino and Barnes? Oh, my gosh. Your cats are the injury attorneys. That's how much Ken Kaufman has infected us. When did you get asked to write that Celino and Barnes jingle, Ken?
Oh, that was, that was 90, I think it was 91, something like that. It was a long time ago. Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
Did you have any inkling then, you know, that what you were creating could have the kind of legs it's had? Do you know at the time, or do you think, look, I do dozens, if not hundreds, of these things, and some take off and some don't?
I had no idea that it was going to become a national phenomenon. I knew that it was going to be important locally only because already they had proliferated the most amazing billboard campaign in the history of Western New York. Their faces were looking at you every time you turned your car. I don't know how many billboards, certainly in the hundreds. So the jingle was to strengthen that communication. They knew exactly what they wanted from me, and there was no question as far as slogan work or anything of that nature. I only met with Steve Barnes, by the way, at the time. I didn't meet with Russ Celino.
Well, let's listen to the original Celino and Barnes TV ad. Let's go ahead and listen to that now.
Celino and Barnes, the injury attorneys.
Hasn't changed much over the years. This is the newer version.
Celino and Barnes, injury attorneys, 800-888-8888.
Don't wait, call 8.
And what did SNL decide to do? Well, in this SNL clip, you have the case of them using the Jussie Smollett. If you remember the Jussie Smollett story, there was Jussie Smollett, there was Jeffrey Epstein, and it was they did this Shark Tank parody. No, that's not true. I have no idea what you're telling me. I don't know. Let's listen to this SNL clip, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Plus, our guest sharks for tonight, jingle-based attorneys, Celino and Barnes.
Celino and Barnes, injury attorneys, happy to be here on Shark Tank.
Up next, the controversial star of Empire, Jussie Smollett.
Hey, everyone, you won't believe this, but I was just attacked outside the studio by Donald Trump himself.
Jussie, is that true?
Are there cameras outside?
Yes.
Then no, it is not.
Jussie, why exactly are you here today?
I broke humanity? But if you take my case, I'm offering spoilers for the next season of Empire. I died.
Celino and Barnes, injury attorneys, and even we won't touch this.
Legal Edition.
Jesse Smollett, Robert Kraft, the question of what the celebrity attorneys are willing to take and what not to take. And they use Celino and Barnes. Were you surprised by that, Ken?
No, I really wasn't, because I knew that already it was being used in California, New York City area, all in many places I was unaware of. So I wasn't the least bit surprised. Also, now I don't know about the timing of it, but there was a Instagram challenge. I don't know whether you were aware of that, that Catherine McPhee had done. It was she and her co.
We've got it.
You've got it.
Should we listen? So this was a, this was an Instagram challenge, and you had celebrities, including Cat McPhee, going ahead and doing some rather theatrical parodying of it. This is the Cat McPhee version.
Celino and Barnes, injury attorneys, 800-888-888.
So that last little dramatic eight. There are also many versions of parodies of which I am not able to put on the air, because Celino and Barnes are lawyers, and I don't want to get sued. But
of course not.
But Ken, really, the reason we asked you here is because we want to have a little fun with it this hour and talk about what has changed and why these things have worked. Because when it comes to what's going on and what works in advertising, here's what the Atlantic Monthly said. They wrote a piece called "What Killed the Jingle." Despite its effectiveness, the jingle has become a relic of the mid-20th century commercials it once dominated. Today's pop songs and yesterday's classics have effectively replaced the jingle. A Kanye West song plays in an ad for Bud Light Platinum. Lady Gaga's applause is a party anthem for the Kia Soul's spokeshamsters. And a Bob Dylan track helps advertise Victoria's Secret. Amid all this, Oscar Mayer decided to retire two of the most popular jingles of all time, "My Baloney Has a First Name" and "I Wish I Was an Oscar Mayer Wiener." In 2010, the company announced a new ad campaign, sans the old tunes. "What we did not want to do was write jingles," an exec told the New York Times. But Steve Carman, who's been nicknamed the king of the jingle, did say, "The industry that I was in is no more." His greatest hits include "Nationwide is on Your Side" and the state song "I Love New York." But he says, really, anymore, there are no jingles. You disagree with Steve Carman?
Well, first of all, the pendulum swings. Okay, we've all observed that. The jingle that I've been involved in for my career, which is, spans about 45 years or so, is really the local jingle. Okay, I was not lucky enough to be traveling in the circles as Steve Carman was and Barry Manilow and the like. These were guys who were doing huge productions for large companies and making large sums of money. I was doing relatively small productions for relatively small to mid-sized local companies for not a whole lot of money. I think we were probably separated by about a zero or two. But early on in my career, I found that I could make more money doing a jingle for a local company than I was able to make in my rock and roll band. So it was a wonderful adjunct to my, to playing rock and roll. And it was all, except for a couple of pieces, they were all local. Actually, one was for Kodak, believe it or not, a friend of yours over there in Rochester. I did that with a friend of mine, Alan Baumgartner. We were hired to do a jingle for Kodak that was used nationally, but otherwise, everything that I've done was local, and I found a middle ground. And so the Atlantic Monthly isn't really talking about what I think should be talked about, which is the fact that the local jingle is alive and well. It's totally alive and well. And it serves a great purpose in local advertising. And it also is a great way for musicians who are decent composers, decent producers, vocalists, etc., to make some good money you know, other than trying to hawk their original tunes, because as they know very well, you could have a hit song on the national level and make only pennies. Whereas with the local jingle, you can control the amount of money that you make and hire great people and do very well. So the national jingle may be injured. It isn't dead. I will agree, but I think the pendulum will swing, because all that's going to have to happen is one company, some Nike or somebody like that, is going to come up with an original sound, and they're going to drum it into our heads, and the next thing you know, all those brilliant people on Madison Avenue will line up behind like lemmings, and they'll go after original jingles too. It's really just a question of trends and things like that. It's not dead.
How often are you getting called for new work then?
Oh my God, I'm called quite often. I'm working on a pair of them right now. I finished a wonderful campaign for a local credit union. I'm working quite steadily, actually. No complaints.
Well, and how does this work then? When you write a jingle, and it airs, every time a Celino and Barnes or something else airs, does that ring your register? Is that how it works?
Wouldn't that be great?
Well, like a royalty, no. Like a song on the air, on a radio station.
Yeah, a lot like that idea. Years ago, I had a music attorney check with ASCAP, and they said that that Buffalo was too small of a market for them to track. So that they said, unfortunately, I wouldn't be making that penny and a half every time it got played. So I stopped chasing after that, and I simply do work. It's a one-time fee. The client gets to own it and use it without any impediment for me at all.
Talking to Ken Kaufman, one of the legendary jingle creators. By the way, legendary, I don't know if you're okay with that term. That sort of sounds like you're not working anymore, and I think you're still working.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's okay to be legendary if you're still working. Yeah, and I am. Believe me, things have changed for me a little bit recently. I did have a symbiotic relationship with Entercom Radio here in Buffalo, and I know there's a Rochester affiliate also. My studio was there. But because they have become so interested in digital things, their interest in selling my wares has kind of waned. So I've gone out on my own, and actually I'm busier than ever before. So it's a good thing.
Well, before we kind of dig back into your past, because I know you trained at the Eastman School of Music, correct?
Sure.
So before we go back to your Eastman days, I do want to ask you, if you sort of ever find yourself going, wait a second, what I just created, I already have created, or I'm ripping, like, you have to do so much of this. Are you just driving in your car and something pops into your head and you record it, or some kind of something rhythmical? Do you have these things on the back burner and you're just waiting for a client to come in who's got like the right syncopation of a name? I mean, I'm trying to like figure out the process here because you do so much.
Okay. Actually, what I do, and this is the truth, I don't have things sitting in the back burner like a cool musical bed that I can't wait to stick somebody's name into. These are all custom produced. What I do is I take the name and the slogan, and I listen to the inherent rhythm that is there in the spoken word. And then I listen to the melodic implications of how we say these things, and melodies and rhythms begin to show themselves. The truth of the matter is, something I discovered years ago, is that all talking is singing, in actual fact. There's always notes. It's just that we think of talking as non-singing, that it's non-melodic. But the truth is, if you were to take any one word, break it down, listen to it closely, you will hear the melody within that word. And so it's melody and rhythm, just like any other kind of music. So what I try to do is I try to listen to the name and listen to how the average person would pronounce it, listen to the melodic implications, and then kind of sit down at the piano and work with that. That's what I do. I don't know if anybody else does it, but that's how I do it.
And you've always done it that way?
Gee whiz, I can't think of any other way to do it.
Well, what's the hardest name? What's an example of a client you told you can't do this? Your name is impossible.
I remember I was hired to do a jingle for Guastella and Associates. It was an insurance company. And I thought, my God, I think I've been defeated. I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. But the truth of the matter is, as soon as I got over the how cumbersome it was to say the word Guastella, which was okay, I was able to come up with a jingle and I sold it to him. And I don't know. I don't know if they're still in business, but if they're not, it wasn't the jingle that put them out.
Well, when you talk about speech as song, here's an interesting example. The original pizza log. Can we listen to that? Let's listen.
Go ahead.
The original pizza log. Let's listen.
Sure.
Put down the burger, put down the dog, pick up the original pizza log. There's only one, the original pizza log. Put down the burger, put down the dog, pick up the original pizza log. There's only one, the original pizza log. Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know why you're laughing. To me, that's art.
No, it is. No, it's. I'm laughing because of how clever it is. It's easy. It's simple. But it's tight. It's very effective. I'm probably going to be thinking about pizza logs all night long because of that. I assume that little middle section where there's no lyrics gives maybe an advertiser a chance to jump in and say something, Ken.
Well, that's the whole idea with the jingle, especially a local jingle. You want to remind the listener who is advertising in such a way that the listener kind of plugs in again. They've heard this before. It's kind of a earworm, and they hear it again, and they know, oh, they're talking to me again. Hopefully, the message is entertaining enough to hold their interest, but if it's not, they change the radio station, and at least you've made an impression. The pizza log has made an impression, and that's the way it is. Now, this particular client, he was a fascinating guy. He knew the direction that he wanted. He wanted it to have that old-fashioned kind of 50s-ish type sound because he felt that it would imply a high quality in food, that it wasn't just a transitory, junky food, but it kind of implied a wholesomeness. And, of course, I listened to his banter, and at first I thought it was all jive until I took a tour of the plant. And I found out that he, in fact, was using incredible ingredients, very expensive ingredients. And I was inspired to give him exactly what he looked for.
Well, apart from the fact that the word log should never be in the name of a food product.
Of course not.
I know what a pizza bagel is, a pizza calzone. What is a pizza log?
Well, think of it kind of as Kreplach doesn't translate, does it? It's a kind of a rolled up thing. You take this, whatever the dough is.
Yeah.
It's very, very thin. You put the stuff in there, and it's got pepperoni and sauce and all the stuff that pizza has and cheese, and it's all high quality from this place. And then it's rolled up. It's rolled up, and it's about 5 to 6 inches long, and it's about an inch in diameter, and it's a cylinder, and you bite into it, and it's a lot like eating a piece of pizza, although it doesn't squirt all over the place.
Well, the original pizza log. So there you go, listeners. And so I want to know from our listening audience what your favorite or most loathed jingles are over the years. And by the way, Ken Kaufman, the creator of many of these jingles that we're familiar with, including the Celino and Barnes jingle.
Yes.
When we joke about most loathed, that just means it's an earworm that works. For you, you want it to stick, I assume.
Well, that's the whole idea. I mean, music is sticky stuff. Let's face it; it just is. We hear songs in the middle of the night when we can't sleep that we just don't want to be listening to, and they're echoing around in our head, which is why it's called echoic memory, because it echoes, whether we like it or not. Probably one of the most loathed in the area was the whole Tops Never Stops campaign, you know, which every child in the world changed to something like Tops Never Mops, look at their floors, things of that nature.
Get even more creative, Ken. But no, I hear
what's
you.
What's that?
No, I hear
oh,
you.
Yeah.
I hear
yes, you. of course. But we are on radio.
But they knew it is the point. It was in their head.
Oh, my God, yeah. And every time the kids sang it in the back seat, it was another impression on mom. And frequency is everything in advertising. I tell that to my clients. I said, just think of advertising as simply frequency. It's just a matter of getting your point across over and over and over again until when somebody is ready for whatever the product might be. It might be a Chevy. Then they're going to XYZ Chevy because at least they feel they have to shop it. It may not be the only place they go to, but it pops into the head and you're off and running. That's all.
I got some questions from listeners about your SNL stuff. Wants to know, does Ken get any royalties from SNL for that? I can't imagine you do.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely?
So no.
Okay.
So right. The answer is no. Is that correct?
No. That is correct, yeah. Sir.
Do they warn you in advance that this is coming?
No, I get no warning whatsoever. I don't think that they're... I think that those days of walking on eggshells in relation to this stuff are long past.
But if SNL is going to use a Celino and Barnes jingle just in a parody, as we mentioned that they did just in recent months here, how do you find out about it? Somebody calls you and says, did you hear SNL? They just did your jingle.
That's really kind of it. Or sometimes I'm watching SNL attempting to see whether this one's going to be funny. So, you know, you get surprised. It's really okay. And I think the people who would complain absolutely the least would be Celino and Barnes themselves because they're getting free advertising on an international TV show. I mean, now that's a good deal. That's really good.
Talking to Ken Kaufman, the creator of that jingle that was used by SNL just recently, and the subject of a Vox piece, which I'll get into in just a bit here. I really enjoyed that read there. Ken is in a field that I don't know if you would advise people to get into it today. I don't think the Eastman School of Music has a pizza log class, but when you go back to your Eastman days, what did you go to Eastman for?
Yeah, isn't that the question? No, let's see. What did I go to Eastman for? I went to Eastman because they had an amazing, amazing theory department, and I was interested in theory and composition, okay? I was already playing jazz, and I enjoyed it a great deal, but actually my theory background was quite limited because I never studied music theory in high school whatsoever. And Eastman had just at the time, and probably still do, had just an amazing, amazing theory department. Their composition department, I thought I was going to be interested in, but they were using mostly 20th century atonal anarchy music, you know, just that stuff that had no form and no substance, nothing that you could grab onto. So I really didn't resonate much with that. But learning theory at Eastman was absolutely fascinating because it translated to jazz and to pop and to classics and all that stuff. So that's why I went there. It was great. It was wonderful for that stuff. But then in the middle of my junior year, I simply left and joined a rock and roll band and actually made money. Yeah.
When did you figure out that you could write commercial jingles?
Well, right after I was hired for the first one, and the fellow who hired me told me how much he was going to pay me.
Then you go, boy, this could be a career.
Yeah, because his name is Alan Baumgartner, a wonderful, wonderful friend, and he had just built a recording studio, and he called me. He knew that I played piano, and he said, "Well, I've been asked to do a jingle. You want to do it with me?" And I said, "Alan, what is a jingle?" He said, "It's a one-minute-long song." I said, "Okay, I write three-minute-long songs, so this should be one-third as difficult." And we went from there, and then he paid me something like around $500 to do what I did. And I said, "Wow, does this beat rock and roll by a long shot?" And that was it. Then after that, we did a jingle. Well, we did one for D&E Oldsmobile, who doesn't exist anymore in Buffalo. And then we did one for Sure Fine Foods, who's still around. And we did a slew of jingles. We did a whole lot of them. Then I broke off from Alan because I realized I could make a heck of a lot more money if I simply did them on my own. And I formed Ad Songs, which is my company, ADSONGS.
Which is where you'll find Ken Kaufman now. Still working, still doing jingles, and and still the focus of, boy, SNL, Vox. It's been a banner few months for the Western New York jingle writing industry. And I want to get Tom in Pittsford on the phone with a comment. Go ahead, Tom.
I just wanted to, you mentioned about what were the old jingles. My favorite is PepsiCo, that hits the spot, 12 full ounces. That's a lot, twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you, which I remember from a long time ago.
And you still, word for word, Tom, can still can still do it.
And I can still say it, sure.
Can still sing it. So thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Ken.
That's proof. That's proof of the effectiveness. Tom, let me ask you this one. Okay, is Tom still there?
We don't have Tom. He can call us back if he likes. But go ahead, Ken.
Okay, well, Winston tastes good like what? Does anyone know?
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know if I'm your target demo here.
Oh, no, you're too young. Well, the fellow in the control room across from me, I read his lips, and he said, like a cigarette should. You see, these things, these songs become part of our, I don't know, part of our mind. I don't know where it gets stored. Sometimes I wish I could cut that part out. But these songs, like songs of our youth, songs that we learned going to church or synagogue or whatever, that we learned at school, we remember these songs for our lives. It's really quite incredible. And they can have an amazing effect on us. Songs in general can bring back our youth. I was over at a friend of mine's house, and his mother unfortunately had a severe case of Alzheimer's. And she walked into the room, and she was all, she had no expression. She was all kind of gray. And I started playing some old standards, old songs from the 30s and 40s. And within a couple minutes, she was singing along with me. And her complexion had changed, and she was smiling. She was laughing. And I thought, this stuff is effective. This really, really works.
I believe it. I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
There is remarkable research about the power of music, particularly music from our youth, things that we remember, things that do get sort of embedded in our brains, having a really interesting effect on people who are struggling with dementia and related disease. So I certainly believe that.
That's true.
And so let's get our only break of the hour. And when we come back, we're going to have a little story about, well, a company that their name was hurting them prior to Ken coming along and putting together a little jingle that changed things. We're going to tell you about that company. We've got more music to play for you. We've got everything from Holiday Valley to the Buffalo Zoo to, well, even some stuff that Ken might not know that we have. He is the jingle maker and joining us from WBFO in Buffalo and really enjoying this conversation. Much more with him next. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, we sit down with Terry Dade, the new superintendent of the Rochester City School District. We'll talk about his priorities for making improvements on a lot of different levels. And of course, we'll talk about how he sees the current landscape of political debate and the conversations about a possible state takeover. Superintendent Terry Dade, Thursday, first hour on Connections.
Great skiing,
Holiday Valley.
Great times,
Holiday Valley.
Great friends at Holiday Valley.
Oh, Holiday Valley.
Winter fun never ends.
Great skiing,
great times, great friends. For the expert, for the beginner, for those crazy snowboarders too.
Oh,
winter fun never ends.
Great skiing,
great times, great friends. Winter fun never.
There's the Holiday Valley.
Oh, my God.
When did you write that one, Ken?
Oh, I don't know. Sometime in the 90s, I get the biggest kick out of listening to the vocalists who are all still friends of mine. That's Billy McEwen. Oh, my God, the best blues singer ever. And that's Carolyn Farini in the background doing all the three-part background stuff. Jerry Livingston on bass. Oh, my God. See, the key to it all is to have a stable of awfully, wonderfully talented people that you can call on. And, of course, the way to do that is to pay them well. Because these are just working musicians. People are still making the same stupid amount of money that they made 30 years ago when they were playing in bars. It hasn't changed much. But when I can call them up and, you know, tell Billy, okay, come on in and sing a jingle and pay him the kind of money that he's going to get paid, he's glad to come in, you know? And it's a real kick for me to listen to that one.
Was there a key change? Did I detect a key change at the end?
There were three key changes.
That's how you know a song is getting emotionally serious, when it's a key change. That's just science.
It's one of the tricks of the trade, is to you breathe new life into something when you kick it up either a half step or a whole step, and they're very different. A half step modulation sounds different from a whole step modulation.
Oh, that man, that's how the Manhattans got like a 3 minute. They do the last chorus of Shooting Star, the Manhattans, for like 3 full minutes, and all they do is just key change. And I'm like, that is brilliant. That is so
Isn't
good.
Great?
It's
that's
so
great.
Good. That is so
that's
good.
That's great.
Talking to Ken Kaufman, a legendary jingle writer. Whose work includes the Celino and Barnes jingle that's been infecting all of our brains for so many years, among many others. And I mentioned that there was a particular company whose name was actually hurting them prior to a little job with Ken Kaufman, and that's Hamburg Overhead Door.
Right.
So let's listen, and then we'll talk about the story behind this one. So I don't know, Ken, but I'm getting the idea here that they don't just work in Hamburg.
You got it.
Maybe
got
all over Western New York.
Over-delivering. That's right. That's right. They had that situation. The situation was quite obvious by the name Hamburg Overhead Door. Anyone who lives in the Buffalo area would have thought, well, they do garage doors in Hamburg. That's wonderful, but I happen to be in West Seneca, so they won't service me. And so we wanted to undo that concept. Their name was a help, but it was also a hindrance. And then a wonderful cohort of mine, Bob Davis, came up with the idea of over-delivering all over Western New York, because we want to talk about all over Western New York, but we wanted to open up this idea of over-delivering. And they've had to kind of explain that for years now. What do you mean when you're saying over-delivering? And in actual fact, they do. They provide a lot more to their clients than the clients ever would have imagined that they would do. And they're a great company, and they're expanding. It's great.
Well, there's a few more we're going to listen to, and before we jump into the next one, I wanted to ask you just about sort of style, because when it comes to the style that you tend to choose, I think Vox touched on this, and I'm going to read from their piece. I think of some of the jingles that are sort of infecting my brain for years here in the Rochester area. Comfort Windows and Doors. One of these days, Bon Jovi is going to come to Rochester, and they're going to cover the Comfort Windows and Doors song. It's like a rock song.
Of course.
But most of them are not rock songs. Most of them are these sort of 50s-style jingles. And this is the piece from Vox.com, And I'm going to read from their author now. Quote, when I pose my theory of the local jingle, that repetition creates nostalgia, that jingles call us back to a time in our lives when we were powerless to make our own consumer choices, that nobody knows their best friend's number, but everyone can phone a used car dealership in their hometown, that this is sinister but comforting, incorporating the absurdity of advertising and the myth of community. When I pose that to legendary Western New York jingle writer Ken Kaufman, he tells me I've only discovered what the Catholic Church figured out hundreds of years ago. He says, I mean, people hear these hymns from when they're in vitro up through when they're rolling on their backs, Ken says. So you think there is something to this notion of community, old-timiness, some of those whatever nebulous values we may incorporate with that old-style jingle, Ken?
Sure. Songs are comforting. It really doesn't matter specifically what the song is about. It simply harkens back to an earlier time in your life. And a lot of times we tend to think that our past was always so much better than our present. And for many people, it happens to be true. But one of the easiest ways to hearken to the past is through one of the senses, and that's what songs are about. Certainly, smells can do that, tastes can do that, and all that sort of stuff. They misquoted me, by the way. It's when you're rolled in on your back, not rolling on your back. But I mean, my point about the church, and this is very true. When people hear hymns that they heard as a kid, when they went to church with their parents, there's a sort of aspect that pulls their life together and takes the randomness and craziness of life and seems to ground it more, okay? For that moment while you're singing How Great Thou Art, there was a time when you were sitting next to your mom and dad and your brother and sister, and you were trying to figure out what this song is about, but this melody just seems to bring you back to a simpler time in your life. Childhood was always a simpler time in everyone's life. It was a time of perfection. And so, you know, where life seemed to just happen along and all the cares and things seemed to be taken care of. And song does that for us. And it doesn't matter if it's a commercial song, a religious song, a pop song, or whatever. It's just the way it is. It's the way we're wired.
So
thank God we're wired that way.
So when you get called by the Buffalo Zoo, how do you decide what am I going to write about for the Buffalo Zoo? Everyone knows the Buffalo Zoo, right?
Right, exactly. Well, usually with a company that large, they already have a marketing direction, all right? So I am called to simply take whatever that marketing direction is, whatever the slogan, that's what I'm referring to. I'm referring to that simple phrase, that simple tops never stops phrase, okay? They know what they want. They know to whom they're advertising because they know their demographics. They tell me what their demographics are, and I go to work, you know, using that slogan. And then any other ideas that they might want to forward. Sometimes a car dealership might want to speak of their location. Maybe a lawyer firm might want to use their phone number, heaven forbid, or something of that nature to make it easier to reach whoever the advertiser is if you're interested. So Buffalo Zoo calls me. They already have their direction. And the one that you're probably referring to, I think they were using the wildest place in town at the time.
Let's listen. Let's go ahead and listen, and we'll have Ken tell us a little bit more about this one from the
sure.
Buffalo Zoo.
Sure.
The wildest place in town, no, not for the meek and mild. It's year-round fun, it's year-round wild. It's the wildest place.
That was much more rockin'.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, very, very effective. They used that. I probably for about 8 years or something of that nature. The version that you have, where there's a pause in the singing, there actually are versions where they sing the Buffalo Zoo, but that's okay.
Well, any zoo in the country could probably call you and take that.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Or is it owned then by the Buffalo Zoo?
Well, this one is owned by the Buffalo Zoo. Yeah, it is.
Okay. Now, do you ever, Ken, get to a point where you've created something and you think it's just dynamite? You present it to a client and they go, that is not what we want at all, and you want to tell them how wrong they are?
Yes. I can't wait to tell them how wrong they are. It's difficult. I had one, and the client will go unnamed, but they were a maker of various Italian sausages and things of that nature. You know, anyhow, the owners of the company, when I played the jingle for them, loved it a great deal. They were literally dancing around the table, doing whatever the big Italian dances. I don't know. Anyhow, they were in honest to God blood-soaked smocks, dancing around the table to this jingle as I was playing it for them. And the next morning, I got a phone call from the ad agent who told me, "Well, all bets are off. You've got to start from scratch." I said, "What happened?" Well, the wife of the CEO doesn't like the jingle. And I thought, does she like the millions of dollars that her husband brings home? Does she like that? Yes, she does. But she's embarrassed by this jingle, which was a tarantella. Okay, it was a killer tarantella. And I started over. So what I did was I rolled the ball right down the middle of the bowling alley. Okay? It was okay. It was boring, but they used it for 10 years, and it was all fine. But it was not the jingle that could have just been incredible for the company. So, you know, yeah, many times that happens. I'm in the middle of one right now that I can't talk about, where it's absolutely perfect for the client, and he's having second thoughts, and I don't understand. But I will learn. I will figure it out. And if I have to redemo, oh, well, that's what I'll do.
There you go. Linda writes to us to say, the golden age of jingles is over? Perhaps. In the 1960s, though, Boston Pops under Arthur Fiedler commissioned a piece, and now a word from our sponsor, a wonderful medley of advertising jingles of the era. Many were for cigarettes. Like the visual cigarette ads, these no longer can be seen and appreciated for their artistic merit, even though the decision to ban ads was certainly sound for health reasons. But the Boston Pops, and now a word from our sponsor. So yeah, there's a part of our cultural tableau, I think, that has always gravitated toward these things. So let me ask Ken Kaufman, who is our guest for the hour and a legendary jingle writer himself. If, let's say you've got an improv comedy coach, because what a lot of people don't realize is Megan Mack is not just a producer extraordinaire, an on-air talent here at WXXI, but she is Rochester's best comedy coach. She coaches improv comedy at the Rochester Brainery. Take me through the process of figuring out how you're going to create a 30-second jingle for an improv comedy coach.
Well, I mean, I would have to find out what she's doing and who's coming to see this, and tell me about the comedy. I'd want to go see some. I'd have to get a feel for it, is really what it is. There's only an extent to which words can take you. That's why a lot of times when I'm advertising for a client doing music, I'll go through their place of business. I will actually try to experience the whole thing. So in Megan's case, I'd love to see what it's all about and kind of get a sense for what it is and who's coming to see it. Because obviously, if the clientele are, you know, very focused in relation to demographic, if they're all, let's say, you know, millennials or something of that nature, then the music has to skew in that direction a little bit, you know. Not that I'm specifically going to patronize people exactly. But you certainly don't want to contradict it. You wouldn't want to do a piece of music that was a real heady jazz if you know, what was going on in that comedy place of hers was certainly anything but heady and just a whole lot of fun.
Well, that's interesting to me that you want to go out and spend time with the clients you have, because I have sort of the opposite idea in my head. I have an idea that people are going, oh, well, let's hire Ken Kaufman, legendary jingle creator. And by the way, Ken, I already have some lyrics for you. I think these will be great. Can you put them to music? Do people call you and they think they've already half written something for you?
Oh my God, I've had it worse than that. Not only do we have slogans done, but we have, and by the way, my daughter is really a good singer. And she's written this piece.
Oh, man.
She's written this song that me and my wife really like. And I'm going, oh, my God, what am I going to do here? So, you know, for what it's worth, I shoot from the hip. If I think they're ill-advised, I'll be as nice a guy as I can and tell them that I really think that they're ill-advised for going in this particular direction. You see, the thing about a good jingle and a good slogan is it should be simple and obvious. And when it's simple and obvious, anybody thinks, well, I could have come up with that. I could have written that. Heck, I could have wrote, you know, back to Tops Never Stops. I could have thought of that. Tops Never Stops, of course, that's easy. Well, guess what? It's, you know.
Guess what? You didn't think of that. That's right.
Yeah.
I love this idea because in retrospect, it should seem obvious. Because
yes.
That's why you've got thousands of people driving around Western New York going, Tops Never Stops. That guy's making a mint for Tops Never Stops. He probably sneezed at that in his bathroom in 5 seconds, and he's getting, well, that's part of the part of the craft.
Back to Celino and Barnes for a second here. What was the slogan? The injury attorneys. That was it. Now, you could even think of that as a non-slogan. It simply defines what they are. It's a definition. But there's a critical word the critical word is the. In my original jingle, you can hear the word the injury attorneys, because you see, they wanted to be preemptive of all other injury attorneys. Now, once that sunk in, unfortunately, that word has been downplayed severely. If you listen to all of the subsequent versions of it, it's the injury attorneys.
But the matters.
The is the most important word in the whole thing. Because you want to convince the client that, okay, you can call, there's a whole rack of injury attorneys in the phone book, but these are the injury attorneys. And that was Stephen Barnes' point to me. He said, that's exactly what we're trying to say here.
That's so good. Okay. That's so interesting to me. And at some risk, I remember a scene from one of my favorite movies, Defending Your Life. Albert Brooks dies. He's gone on to Judgment City, where he's meeting other people who have recently died, and he meets a guy while they're having a meal, and the guy's telling him that he made his fortune in L.A., and he says, you know the nude bars in L.A.? He says, I'm the guy who put all nude. Not just nude, all nude.
That's
Albert
right.
Brooks is like, that's it? That's all you did? And he said, that was me. I'm the guy. Before me, it was just nude, and then it said all nude. Business skyrocketed, made all his money. So that's like the V in the Celino and Barnes. And now Celino and Barnes is going to be unhappy with me comparing them to the nude bars in L.A., the all-nude bars.
Oh, well, I'm sure you're going to hear from them. And, you know,
Ross, Stephen, don't call me. Hey, let's listen to one more. This is Tabby Town Cat Adoption.
Oh, wow.
I want to listen to this one. This is one more jingle to listen to.
Sure.
Cats abound at Tabby Town. Lost and found at Tabby Town. The purrs are sound at Tabby Town. His love is found at Tabby Town. Adopt a cat from Tabby Town. Homeward bound from Tabby Town. The purrs are sound at Tabby Town. His love is found at Tabby Town. Tabby Town. A cat's home between homes.
I feel like that's like a commune where everyone is high and always having a good time and the cats are happy. I mean, I just feel like Tabby Town is where it's at.
Well, I don't know whether everyone's high or not. That's that's covered by the HIPAA laws. I don't ask any questions.
Right, that's good.
Yeah, but they're probably here. Let me explain to you the situation that Tabby Town had. People didn't remember their name. Okay, mm-hmm. it was a real problem because when anyone had a cat that, or was looking to adopt a cat, they couldn't remember the name of the place where they were going to adopt it from. So, Cheryl Ludwig is she runs Tabby Town. It's amazing the job that they do over there. It really, really is. Anyhow, she said, just whatever you do, make sure they cannot forget the name of our place, because not everybody really needs what we do, and we don't buy a lot of media, so we need people to be able to remember Tabby Town. I said, oh, I'll say it over and over for you, Cheryl. Don't worry about a thing. So that was the whole idea. If you come away with nothing but the name of the place, all right, and what they do, then you got it. That's it. Yep, that was it.
We have very much enjoyed the conversation with you, Ken, and you have added to the cultural tableau here in Western New York and obviously around the country, judging by Saturday Night Live taking your work on and having some fun with it on, as part of their sketches as well. And I've got a feeling that your insight is correct, that maybe on the national level the jingles are dying, but these community voices, these more localized stuff, I think we'll see them. And part of me thinks that's kind of cool. That's fun.
I think it's okay.
Ken Kaufman, we'll find you online where, Ken?
AdSongsJingles.com.
AdSongsJingles.com. Still working, doing great stuff. And Ken, thanks for taking the hour with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. This was fun.
Fun for us. And listeners, our jingle, it's not really a jingle. It's the music you hear right now. And I don't tell you enough. My thanks to Barsook Records and Rah Rah Riot. That's a band with local roots. Kind enough to let us use their music as a theme show for Connections. So I hope that every time you hear this, you think of us. And who is us? It's Rob Braden, the engineer, and Megan Mack, the producer, and a comedy coach who will soon maybe have her own jingle. I should have had one ready. I wasn't ready enough. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.